This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by DoghouseSystems.com, making the best computer rigs your money can buy. Go get one now. Play WoW like a freaking boss. And lots of other video games, too. They're amazing. DoghouseSystems.com is the place. The code is Henry for double the memory. That's DoghouseSystems.com. And by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to harrys.com. And just in time for this gifting season, for new and existing customers, get $5 off the limited edition Winter Winston set by entering the code WOWHOLIDAY. That's WOWHOLIDAY at checkout at harrys.com.
Hi, this is Gerst from Draenor, and I just would like to say thank you and keep up your good work.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 394 for Friday, December 12th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson, joined by Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
I kind of like the way you pronounced my name just then.
Patrick! I think that's...
that should... if you shout it, then yeah, I think it works.
Has so much more meaning when I yell it. We are the lone gunman today because I can't seem to find the other two. But if they come in, they've been invited. They'll hop in when they hop in if we see them.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine.
So does that mean we have to start singing, you know, like... just the two of us.
We can make it if we try. Just the two of us. You and I.
You and I. Oh, that was beautiful. Excellent. That is what it is. We are the two lone podcasting men.
That was hot. That whole thing was super hot, and people will never forget it.
Oof. I think I only have my t-shirt, but if I had more clothes on, I would take off one layer.
Right on, right?
It was hot.
Listen, I don't want to hear about your nice weather in France while we're freezing over here. Enough of that.
It was the, you know, the singing with you. That was, okay, never mind.
Doesn't
Let's
matter.
Talk about World of Warcraft.
Moving on. Chances are it's likely Terpster is unringable because he is deep into the Yogg's annual charity drive, which I understand yesterday crested over the 500,000 pound mark, whatever that is in U.S. dollars. I don't know.
So last week when he didn't know whether or not it was going to be a big deal, he was like, oh, yeah, whatever. I won't go there. And then it starts making tons of money and he's like, ooh, I have to do the charity thing. I'm on to you, Turpin.
And Turpin, Marcus Turpin III. We know what's up.
McTurpin.
He could be at the hospital having a baby. We don't know. We don't know what's happening. He hasn't said jack shite. I sent him a little package that contained M&M's with pretzels in them, which you can't buy in the UK. So I sent him a package of those as a friendly gesture, and maybe those sent him to the hospital. I don't know. I'm not saying I poisoned him. I'm not saying I didn't. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's a show about World of Warcraft to be done, so we're going to do it. We're going to do it right now. All right, here's the problem. This week has been woefully sad when it comes to news and new things being said. It's been awesome in terms of like lots of interviews and devs getting in front of various community sites and podcasts and blogs and talking about what's going on and changes they intend to make and how they feel about the expansion so far. But none of it really yielded much in the way of anything sort of groundbreaking or shattering. It's all been sort of expected and normal and fine, including an interview I did with Ben Brode and Jason Chase about Hearthstone, which is not even all that WoW related this week. So it's been a kind of a weird week that way. But the game's been in full bloom. There's been all sorts of things happening. And I thought it'd be fun today to let the show be more in the hands of our listeners because we had a lot of calls and emails during the week about various aspects of the game. And it's all worth talking about. Plus, there's raiding happening now. And, you know, there's things to discuss.
Yeah, I think it wasn't quite news in the sense.
All right. Fixed. Glitch fixed. Go ahead. Sorry, Patrick. Go. Continue.
Yes, it wasn't news in the sense that, you know, it was news coming down from Blizzard about upcoming stuff, but it was certainly something new for me because I think, and for a lot of people, it was the first time we could get into the raid in this expansion. Yeah. I think LFR was this week, right?
LFR was this week. Was it though? Hold on. So in my head, I think LFR was
Well, it's the first week I started doing it. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, yeah. You know, if I don't think about the world, it doesn't exist. And if I don't do LFR, yeah. Then it doesn't exist either. I didn't do it before.
The week's a bit of a weird blur because I also did start to get into, I kind of got to a place. I think as of last night, 630 eye level. So I'm doing good. Kind of way ahead of where I normally am at the curve. And so I thought, well, I could buy myself a little bit of time in Dragon Age Inquisition. So I picked that game up after much prompting from Veronica. And I finally picked it up. And it's real good. It's as good as everyone's saying. But it's kind of made everything a bit of a blur. And I'm pretty sure it's also true for me that it's the first time I ran out LFR was this week. And I can tell you, well, let's talk about this. It's kind of stupid easy. Like,
you know...
I know, kind of on purpose, right? Because they've told us, they warned us that LFR would be kind of tourist mode moving forward, that a lot of boosted 90s are not knowing what they're doing. There aren't tier pieces in here. It's a thing to kind of see so you can see it and then progress toward doing it with a real team. So we knew this, right? Going into it.
Well, so they... I can't remember that they mentioned making it that easy, but I heard about it. You know, people have been discussing whether or not it's too easy. And so I kind of was expecting it to be super easy. Mm. And then, you know, I went in with this preconceived notion that it was going to be easy. And then it was honestly even easier than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, it's, I think the... calling it stupid easy is not unfair. Yeah. It's not uncalled for.
Sure.
But on the other hand, for a lot of reasons, I don't think I mind it being that easy.
Well, if we weren't complaining about, when I say we, I just mean the player base. If the player base wasn't complaining about it being easy, they would instead be doing what they normally do, which is complaining that LFR groups are too stupid to handle whatever mechanics are there or possibly. Whatever
no,
difficulty.
I mean, honestly, the thing that makes it a little bit weird is that honestly, at least as a healer, which I'm playing now, it's a lot easier in LFR, or at least the one, you know, the time I did it, it was a lot easier than heroics. You know, heroics are sometimes a little bit tense.
Very intense. The freaking Grim Rail on heroic is like pulling teeth and then feeling good about it. Like, it is really hard. It took us 4 hours to beat Grim Rail on heroic with a group I liked, with people I know, like, not a pug, like, straight up, that is a hard-ass thing to do. So it is a little jolting, right, to jump into LFR and have it be that simple.
It's weird. I mean, so I think... But that being said, okay, it's definitely strange the step between LFR and heroics for sure. But I was saying I don't think I mind because I have gone through so first of all, I'm wondering how easy it was when we first jumped into raiding in Mists. I seem to remember that the first batch of wings and maybe even the first wing was very easy and that people were complaining it was too easy. Mm. So I don't know if it was as easy as it is now, but certainly there was the same outcry for Mists. And then, as you were saying, people are coming back and people are getting into raiding possibly for the first time. You don't want to, you know, hammer them over the head and tell them, you are too stupid to do this. Like having them spend, you know, an hour on a boss. You really don't want to turn them off.
Yeah, it's a hard. So, this is the weirdest thing they have to balance, I think, is because it's chaotic with 25 people. It's a pug automatically. It's, there's no way to control the quality of the group. And so they already have that working against them. Then they're throwing them at content that people either don't know already or some do and some don't. So to have complicated stuff happening just frustrates those who know and frustrates those who don't at the same time. And never the twain shall come together and meet and be happy. Yeah. So it's a kind of a no win in a way. I feel like if them going simple and easy, and when I say simple and easy, 3 bosses, 10 minutes. I mean, I know it's only one wing, but 10 minutes maximum is what I spent with these people, and no one died.
You mean for the 3 bosses?
Yeah, for the 3 bosses. Nobody died during any of this fight. Yeah. It was maybe 10, 15 minutes total time spent in there. and nobody died, and plenty of people were doing dumb stuff. You could see, you know, one guy walking off in the corner and rubbing up against the wall for no reason, and, you know, stuff like that. And usually that meant deaths, maybe not wipes, but usually deaths in an LFR scenario. Certainly in Cataclysm, this was true. I can't remember how much I felt that way with. It seems to me there were some mechanics or even trash that would kill a lot of people in LFR during miss.
If you weren't. Yeah, well, so as I was saying, so the video is not showing up on your screen, so I'm going to...
Yeah, I don't know why either. That little spinning ball is awesome, though.
Yeah, it's weird. but so playing a healer, as I often do in Raid, the thing I'm doing is looking at the health bars, right?
Yeah.
And in this instance, it was... The health bars never went below 50% ever. Ever.
Yeah.
I maybe once, you know, during the three encounters.
Yeah.
And usually everyone was topped off all the time. So I'm thinking they might have undertuned it a little bit. And we might see that change in the future. Maybe the upcoming wings are going to be a little bit more difficult. That's a possibility as well.
Sure.
As we were saying, people are coming back, so you don't want to turn them off to raiding. But at the same time, the heroics being more difficult than this makes it a little bit weird. However, one of the reasons I was saying I don't mind it being relatively simple is it's the first wing only, but also there are so many other things to do in the game.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't want to have to block off like 3 hours to do this wing of the raiding. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to block off 2 or 3 hours. If I spend half an hour in it, it's fine by me. I'm going to go back to my garrison and do other things. I just got my, level 2 in, and I'm recruiting additional followers.
Sure.
I'm gathering stuff. Going on missions, garrison missions and stuff like that, I feel like possibly they made it a little bit easier. I don't know that that's the case, but possibly because that raiding is not, you know, one of the only things you do in your progression. If you're going for LFR, there are other things you want to be doing. Whereas in previous expansions, you had basically raiding was your end goal. Here, you can come into the game and do a lot of other things more than you had before. And the other thing to mention is that by everyone's account, normal heroic and mythic raiding is a lot more difficult. It's like the level difficulty you would expect. Mm. So it's really particular for LFR that easiness issue.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just funny because it's just because people are used to what they're used to. So in other words, LFR, in my opinion, after all is said and done, after seeing it and kind of experiencing the breadth of the content thus far in the game, and I've dabbled in everything available except for normal, heroic, or mythic in Heimal, which we'll do soon. But everything else I've experienced tells me that is no longer a stepping stone place for players who plan to raid at the very least normal at some point with their raid teams. Because it used to be one of the paths to good progression was you'd run LFR a few times and get some of those pieces. They weren't as good as what you'd end up with normal and heroic, but you get them. And that would be a stepping stone toward your normal and your heroics. People would encourage you to run that during the week before raid night because... A, you'd be, you know, kind of exposed to the overall experience of the raid and have some experience with it. But then also you'd get a few pieces here and there that were different colors of the same tier pieces you would then earn later in normal or heroic. And so that was a good progression step for many players. And those players would be usually the most irritated with a bad group in LFR. Now what I think Blizzard is kind of saying without actually saying it is that this isn't for you anymore. Normal and heroic raiders.
Yeah,
you have normal and heroic raids. You already have the thing we want to give you. LFR is for somebody else. That's for people dabbling, being casual, not interested in going the full length of the progression. It is a separate thing for them to do. And it's if I want to, there's no reason for me to really want to do it. And after experiencing it,
so they're not forcing you to do it either.
No.
By not including it in the progression. So you don't get set pieces
No tier pieces, no set pieces in there at all. And that's one big change. The trinkets are gone. Like, that whole change says to me that they are, this is what they mean for this now, is that they mean it to be a cool thing to see, experience, and have for players who want to see raid content and not have that, those people never experience those things. I mean, kind of the LFR purpose in the very beginning was to provide that, but it also wanted to, well, we need to balance out what the challenge is versus what it isn't and blah, blah, blah. But I could be totally wrong, and it'd be a great thing to ask a Blizzard dev, but it does seem to me that they want this to be tourist mode. And I don't mean that pejoratively. I mean, that is a fine thing. Well, that's a normal thing to want to have players see. It's fine.
Okay, so I'm going to put a little bit of a little grain of salt in our argument here. There does need, I mean, this easy yes, no challenge at all, no need to think about anything, I think might be a little bit too extreme. So that's why I'm hoping that the, you know, next wings are going to be a little bit more difficult, because yes, you should be able to do it, but you should be able to do it if you're paying attention a tiny bit. Right, you shouldn't be on the ball every half second and super stressed for the whole duration of the entire thing. But at some point, you should see the, you know, something light up, and you should move, like in the way that you're doing in Heroics.
I agree.
In our experience, from what I understand from your experience at least, and certainly mine, that didn't matter. Nothing mattered. You would just press your buttons for 5 minutes and you would win.
And I stood still pretty much most of the time. Like, I barely moved. And to me, a barely moved tank and spank is not what WoW has been for a very, very long time when it comes to raid content. So the fact that that's what I was doing again was a little disappointing. I guess I'm cool with... I would be... I know it's a hard balance for them, but more poop to stand out of, more poop to stand in, like good poop, things like that, that would go a long way, you know, just to create a little mobility, a little something.
It's tuning. I'm sure there would be numbers they could tune and would force people to be a little bit more attentive. So,
It was still really cool to see. Like, I want continuation of that story, which again, I think casual players not interested in hardcore raiding are going to get out of that. It is that, there's a piece of me, and I know I'm going to see it a lot in normal and heroic and maybe even mythic if my team is willing. I know I'm going to see it happen a lot, but Kargath going down in 5 seconds with, you know, hardly any effort is sad. Ner'zhul doing that in heroic is kind of sad too, but it just, this, these are big names, right? These are people I'm supposed to be really afraid of, and having them, you know, having Kargath, who is so showcased as such an interesting warlord with all kinds of psycho background story and all this stuff, just to take him down like that. I don't know. I came away from going, I wish that was harder.
A little bit. I agree.
Yeah.
But, you know, on ooh, that was weird. You know.
I liked it. I would like to ask you to continue to speak that way throughout the rest of the show, if you could. Yeah. Like a 12-year-old boy getting puberty for the first time.
But yeah, anyway, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, we got to listen. Go ahead.
I don't, as to sort of conclude, I don't mind as much as I thought I would have if you had told me at the beginning of the expansion, before I had seen everything it has to offer. I would have thought, oh, what? That's stupid. Now I'm just like kind of thankful that I didn't have to wipe 15 times and suffer the yelling of everyone and the you know, annoying and annoyance of that it usually implies.
Sure. And if their goal was to have more people see the content, so therefore it's easier, the only worry I have at this point, because I agree with you, the only worry I have at this point is they will probably now only see that content once. Maybe they'll run it again when the new wings are open, to, you know, because they kind of have to get through it all. But the interest I have, I used to be able to, like, well, there's enough here in LFR, and there's enough frustration, but also enough success and enough reason for me to keep going. Now I'm like, I have no reason to go through that wing again. I got 2 drops. They were improvements. I'm kind of done with it. And I'm done until normal. And I'm stoked for that. I can't wait. It'll be great. And when the new wing LFR hits, I'll do that too. But I am in no rush now to say, yep, got to get in there every time I can get in. Get out, you know, whenever the lockout ends, I'm in again. I don't feel that. I'm not compelled now to do that with LFR anyway.
You know, the thing is, once we have all the wings, there's going to be like how many? Six of them?
Six wings, yeah.
Yeah. Even if you spend, you know, 20 minutes in each one, that's a good chunk of time for someone who's who really doesn't have a lot of time to dedicate to WoW. Mm-hmm. So,
well, if it's 10 minutes in per, let's say, because that's how, that's, I mean, mine was, I didn't clock it, but I would say it's like, let's say 12 to be safe, maybe 12 minutes
I'm
was
sure,
that entire
I'm sure
encounter.
It felt like 10 minutes, but it was a lot more.
It may
like
have even been. It may have
each
been.
Each fight is at least 5 minutes, at least.
Yeah, I guess. And that's the other problem, you know, with it, is because the fights took so long. It was just about killing. It was just about eating away his hit points, right? It wasn't about anything else. And so that is really, that is not, that's not, as that's just not fun.
Yeah.
To just kind of sit there and take it, you know? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, this is, I'm not even really criticizing it because I'm kind of with you. It's like I came out on the other end going, wow, that was easy. And I have the whole rest of my day.
Wow, that was easy. I'm happy it wasn't hard.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Nobody freaked out. Nobody got booted. Nobody vote kicked anybody. Nobody died. Nobody wiped. No one's fault. It was just, we were done. And that's rare for a first time in there in the first week it's available. Weird. It's weird. Anyway, so that's the thing. Let's listen to this real quick.
Hi, Scott, Patrick, Terpster, and Dills. Editor of the Shatar EU here. I'm just wondering if you guys have had a chance to suffer Molten Core for the anniversary event yet. It's proving to be a real challenge. Lots of trolls and general misconceptions about the dungeons. People do seem to have forgotten it over the past 10 years. I mean, it's now 1:30 in the morning here, and I've been in this group since 8 p.m, and we've just reached Baron Geddon after countless wipes. Have you been in yourselves? I mean, I'm looking forward to getting the Mountain Helm, but this may be my last foray into the core as I'm getting stressed out. Love the show. Bye.
Yeah, I'm never going back in. I went in and got my mount. I got my helm. And for us, in a organized 40-man AIE group, we did it in about 2 hours. Three or four wipes.
You
some
had
challenge.
How,
yeah, we had to pug a couple of, I think we pugged a tank at one point and had another pugged healer for a minute or something. And they, a couple of those guys were kind of lame, and they were responsible for some of our wipes because they weren't coordinating very well with us. But it was mostly people we knew, and that made it a lot easier. However, it was still arduous, horrible, worth it for the mount and the helm, but I'm done. I'm not going in there again. And there's just no way in hell I'm doing that again. And I think, Patrick, you can call me on this one and tell me I'm full of crap, but I think this was Blizzard's way of reminding us, basically doing two things. One is, hey, we'll give you the thing you're all so nostalgic about. You all miss 40-man content? You miss Molten Core? Sweet. We're going to give you it again. We're going to tune it for current day stuff. And here it is. See how you like it now. While secretly, their trick is to say, look how much better it is now and why we gave up on 40-man raiding, why that content wasn't very good, and why that utter chaos and ridiculous just is not a good, fun way to play the game. I think they did it on both counts. Those who find nostalgia in there will certainly find it again. And those who need to be reminded why that stuff sucked will be reminded why that stuff sucked. Because it sucked.
Honestly, I really don't think there's anyone who thinks, that was awesome. I wish there was more of it.
Well, there was a lot of talk. I mean, for years on this show, emails and stuff, you know, going, where's our 40 man? Those are the best days, you know?
Well, I'm not sure it's about 40 man. It's about the design of the dungeon, the design of the raid and the encounters and the you know, first of all, you're jumping back in. You're not even reading the strategies. You're not trying. You're trying to get through in 2 hours and thinking this is stupid because you think you've done it a million times. But it wasn't that easy back then. And yes, the encounters were a lot more simple. Some of the mechanics are silly, like, you know, cursing the entire raid and you having to stand there decursing everyone one by one. Mm-hmm. And that would be your job. You know, one of the mages on, I can't remember which encounter, but one of the mages would be like, yes, you decurse.
Yeah.
And that's what you do for the whole fight or almost the whole fight.
And that's what would happen here. Our guy would say, hey, decurse everybody. And then this pugged in tank would not care and just go ahead and pull the next group. And, you know, it was chaos. It was totally stupid.
So Yeah, there the mechanics have become a lot more interesting. Yeah. Difficulty is not necessarily doesn't mean fun, you know, or challenge. It might just mean that it might just mean stupidity. And certainly, I really don't think they did it to you know show the community how dumb it was back then, because I don't think it was dumb. It was different.
We're talking 10 years ago. And, it was, you know, different thing.
But I do think it's kind of a convenient way of also, as you're saying, showing like, all right, you've asked it for a long time mm-hmm. and we didn't do it because we thought it didn't work. And in this context of a fun, you know, event to celebrate the anniversary, we think it is appropriate, but probably not for more than that. And now people are just realizing, oh, okay, then yes, maybe we don't want that. But
yeah, or at the least, we've improved so much. Like as a player base, we've come to just sort of expect these things. But over 10 years, they've improved the formula so much, more than just a giant cave with random dudes in it. It's just so much better now.
And you know, the 40-man thing is not about the game. It's about organizing it, right? It's on the player's side that it's a problem. So I'm sure that they could do compelling content for 40-man as well. It's just that for the players, it would be a pain.
Sure.
So that's two different things, really. But I also jumped into Molten Core, and I was looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And honestly, after the first 15 minutes, I just thought, okay, this is stupid.
Did you bail?
I really don't want to. It was LFR.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Can't feel bad about that.
And, of course, people didn't know the mechanics, didn't want to learn them, really. People were scattering around all the time. And as much as I want the bonuses and the pet and the mount and the helm and whatever.
Sure.
I don't want them that bad. It's gonna take, you know, I did Molten Core back then and I killed Ragnaros and it was fantastic, but in LFR I don't think it works. It would take 8 hours and still it wouldn't work.
Everybody I've talked to LFR'd that has, you know, just talks about how miserable it was. And part of the problem too is a lot of people are trying to do this during the time when the server stability and the DDoS attacks were still sort of happening, and it was a real roulette. Real, if you got in there, friend of the show Steve Hammaker was rolling in there with an LFR group that took forever and just got the mount and helm, like literally clicked it, went into his bags right when the world server went down and everybody got kicked. So he got lucky. I can't imagine how many other people, even in that group, who hadn't quite gathered themselves to the point that they walked over to Rag's, you know, guts and got their stuff, and didn't because of that, and had to file, you know. The complaints with Blizzard and get it all reinstated and everything, which I'm sure they did. But the point is that it is a beast to tackle, to deal with. Remind me, Onyxia was before or after?
Before.
It was before this. And that's interesting because I felt like I can't confirm any of this, but there was some story rolling around in our group the other day. And I don't know if anybody was giving us any sources or anything, but that this may have been a piece of content they threw together in a weekend. Like they got together for Molten Core 10 years ago and said, guys, we're screwed. They've burned through everything. We've got to give them something like right away. So we're pulling an all weekender. Let's get pizza and beer and let's drunkenly make this terrible encounter.
Where does this piece of information come
from?
Well,
that's a good question, because it came out in our group, in our 40 man, and it was talked about on Mumble, but I have no idea if any of it's true. And I'm thinking likely none of these things are ever what you think they are. So chances are it's not true. But if there are sources, I'd love to see them as to how that all went. Maybe someone in the chat room can fish something up while we're on today, but
I seriously doubt that's what happened. I seriously see, like, what do you do, how long does it do you think it takes to design, like, graphically all of the models and the caves and the, you know, the dungeon itself and the mechanics? You don't think they tested them before?
Well, you'd think so. I mean, they're just, you could make the argument.
Think so, indeed.
You could make the argument, though. There were sure a lot of core hounds and fire lords in there, and they all were just dupes.
I don't think you can make the argument that they did that in a weekend. I mean, they're good, but, you know,
right.
It's just the way the raids were designed was inherited from, you know, a different type of, a different time, a different type of game.
Yeah.
And even, you know, WoW was a lot simpler than those games. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember if it was Ashran's Call or EverQuest.
Hmm.
Raids were, I'm not going to say a number because I'm going to just, you know, show my ignorance here, but it was a lot more than 40 people.
Yeah.
So, and maybe Onyxia was actually came afterwards.
I thought Onyxia was not sure after, now. But I'm not sure now either. Yeah. My memory's real
But
fishy.
Either way, I mean, I can guarantee you that, you know, Molten Core was not designed in the weekend. No, it
wasn't. I love the idea, though, that they were all just like crashed out in an office and, you know, everyone's drunk and they're just like, yeah, I put five more Fire Lords in between this and the next guy. Because it does. There are times in that
giggling.
Dungeon.
They're like, do you think we have enough? No, we can add one more. Well, yeah. It's going to be fun. Let's add one more.
There are times in that dungeon where you wonder, right? Because it's so just scatterbrained in there. It's just like, oh. Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah. You know, the type of experience that MMOs were back then for raiding, that's the kind of thing it was. Which one was it? BlackRock? The
Upper Black
the one
Rock
that
Spire?
Came afterwards.
Oh, the, after Onyxia?
The second raid, Blackrock, you know, the one where you defeated Nilfarian.
That's, I don't remember any of this.
Can't remember.
I was terrible. And when I came to raiding in vanilla, I was a non sequitur. I couldn't wrap my head around why I wanted to deal with that at the time. I know that sounds dumb now, but it's just,
well, maybe.
Too much.
You mean dealing, how, why you would deal with what?
Just deal with the whole idea of like, with to raiding? Me it seemed, yeah, because to me.
Blackwing Lair, thank
Blackwing
you.
Blackwing Lair, jeez, jeez Louise, yeah. Oh. No, but what it was for me then, here was what put me off at the time. It was, I didn't want to have the responsibility of what it seemed like raiding meant, which was a very hardcore, more dots, what the hell are you doing? That guy, he represented to me. What raiding was at the time. So that whole meme with that guy freaking out and yelling at everybody and, you know, nobody knows what they're doing and yelling for more dots. Hey, everybody. Quick moment to talk about our friends at Harrys.com. Let me bust in here and tell you that you don't know what it's like to shave until you've used the Harry razors. Not just because they're cheaper, not because they're like half the cost of normal like Gillette razor blades and things like that. That's all a good reason to get them. But because they give you a really nice shave. Take care of your face. Do you have somebody on your gift list that is impossible to shop for? The guy in your life who has everything? Well, I've had that problem. Your friends at Harry's are here to help you in your time of need. Just in time for the holidays, Harry's has a limited edition Winter Winston set for just $30. Kit comes with a sleek razor handle, or razor handle, sure. And your choice of charcoal gray or ice blue. I got the charcoal gray. And as usual, it comes with 3 high-quality blades and their foaming shave gel, or you can get the shaving cream, it's your choice. Already been wrapped, shipping is always free, simple as that. Delivered right to my door is how I got it. Couldn't have been easier. You guys like easy, right? Like LFR. getting Harry's to send you something awesome is kind of like running LFR right now. They're high quality, half the price of those big brand blades. And more dull blades suck. If you're going to hang on your blades forever because you paid so much money, that's not good either, right? So pay less. And again, as a holiday special offer, Harry's is gifting all of the fans of this show $5 off for the limited edition Winston Winter set. Or the Winston set, if I can say it right. Even if you've already come to Harry's, you've already used other codes, you still get this $5 off. You just have to use that code WOWHOLIDAY at checkout at Harrys.com. That's Harrys.com, Harrys.com, and enter the code WOWHOLIDAY. Do it today. That to me was not, that did not sound like fun to me. And this is all pre-AIE. It's before we started the guild. It's before I realized you could have a lot of really supportive friends in a game like this. And I figured without that, it was all just militaristic a-holes running raids. That was my impression. I know it's not a correct one, but that's how I felt at the time.
I think it was a much bigger deal. And the organization of having, 40 people required a lot more discipline.
Yeah.
And on the chat room, people are saying that they talked about the Molten Core. Mathis819 said they talked about it in the documentary and that Molten Core took them a week.
What?
I really don't. So first of all, a week is not a weekend.
Right.
And second of all, I really don't think like they designed all of the assets and everything in a week. But I don't know. Now I'm not sure.
Now, the funny thing is I've seen that documentary two times through and I don't remember them saying that. So
yeah, me neither.
I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
Anyway. Not just because I'm in it. Okay. Not just because I'm in it. It's because I wanted to show it to some friends. Okay. All right. Relax. Not showing it to them just because I was in it. All right. Just want to make that clear before somebody calls me on it. All right. We got a call about why flying is hard to take out of the game or hard to remove in the game.
Hey, this is Steven, man. I'm calling about the instance. I wanted to offer an opinion on flight. I think it's one of the big problems right now in the community is sort of the shock value of not really, not understanding that switch over from flying all the time to not flying. Because once you get over it, it's not so bad, especially once you've actually started playing the game. But I think it's just a lot of people see this and they're used to flying their birds and then they don't get to fly their birds anymore. It's like, boom. It's actually not so bad. So thanks, big fan of the show.
Terpster agrees, do you?
Yeah, I do agree. Yeah. Sorry, I've only just joined and my internet here, apparently, my call quality is terrible. No, sorry if I sound terrible.
You sound all right right now.
I did a garrison quest earlier this week. Oh. And when I clicked on the flight master, it flew me somewhere on an old-looking griffin. The new, nice-looking griffin that you normally take.
Yeah,
and so then I thought, oh, hang on. People could have the flying mounts that they wanted. Mm. You should be able to change them.
Yeah, you should, but that's a glitch. There's no way that was intended. At least I don't think so.
No, but it just means that they just put in like the default, fly here using a flying mount.
Yeah.
And it was an old one.
Hey, by the way, this is one of those great podcast conundrums. We just got through with a very spirited, very interesting, in-depth conversation, Patrick and I, all about Molten Core and about LFR and about the first wing opening for LFR and normal and heroic and mythic for Heimal. And then, and we really put a bow on it, but now you're here.
Let's open it back up again. I'm sure that's what people want after they're like, finally, we've reached a consensus.
It was like, 40 minutes where we were talking about these two topics?
Yeah, and now he's here.
I'm going to say the opposite of that.
So both of us basically are in agreement that Molten Core is kind of terrible. And
it is terrible, isn't it? Oh, my Lord. It's so bad. And the thing is, it's like... They said in like the documentary, like, we kind of shat that out in a week.
We brought that up too.
You said it.
Yeah, you did. Okay, keep going. This is good.
And it kind of, I thought that they might revisit when they were bringing back, and updating Molten Core for level 100 as a 10-year, amazing thing. I can totally understand the conundrum they'd have there of, is that going to be are we going to be true to what it was? And, just be like, okay, here you are. Here's to celebrate 10 years. Here's the first ever raid we did again. You can play it again. Or do we make it 10 years better and improved, but with the same feel and emotion? And I guess they went with the first option, whereas I would have rather they gone with the second.
Yeah. It's not good. It's good to have the mount. It's good to have the helm. But we were just saying essentially that we're done.
Get those. Honestly, I jumped in once. And that's going to be the extent of my anniversary Molten Core experience.
You're done. You're not getting that mount. Maybe you will. Maybe somebody, an old pal at Blizzard, will cough one up for a birthday gift or something and tell you not to tell anyone.
No, they never do that.
Yeah, that's true. They don't. Those bastards. All right. Let's move on to when we do finally fly.
Hey, Scott, Dills, Terpster, and Patrick. This is Asterna Hill the Warlock. You've talked about flying mounts a few times on the show, but I have a question. There was a great discussion the other day in AIE Guild Chat about flying in Draenor. Some people are upset about its absence, but the majority of guild members seem pretty happy about not being able to fly, including myself. Some complain they feel the time or money they invested in collecting their flying mounts was wasted. Others say the inability to fly is more immersive and more fun. Again, myself included. Do you want to be able to fly in Draenor? Do you think we will be able to fly in Draenor? And if so, do you think it'll happen sooner or later in the expansion?
Well, Radio Man.
Well, gentlemen with an amazing radio voice.
Yeah.
I think you should go listen to the previous episode of The Instance, where we all said we were happy not to have flying mounts in Draenor.
We are happy to not have them, I think, still. But I'm
the problem is, they all look so bad on the ground.
Yeah.
Duncan at work, he got his Sindragosa Fireland staff recently, and he's proudly set up a macro that switches to the stave, uses it and turns him into the Blue Drake, and then switches back to his normal weapon. So he can basically mount up really stupidly. But at the same time, it looks terrible on the ground. Mm. And when you jump, it looks like it's being pulled up on a piece of string.
Yeah.
Like it kind of hunches up in this really weird way.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously these mounts weren't, you know, they're meant to be in the sky. They're meant to fly. They're not meant to be on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a long time, you couldn't use them on the ground.
Yeah.
That man with an amazing voice, his voice is so soothing. If he asks very nicely and Blizzard listens, they might do it just for that.
I know, right?
He has a really incredible voice. What's his name again?
Melt their heart. Let's see. It says at the beginning. I'll read it.
Hey, Scott Dills, Terpster, and Patrick. This is Asternahill the Warlock.
Asternahill
the Warlock.
Yeah. Nice stuff.
We got traffic backed up on the 62nd, but if you take the 105, you'll find that you'll be fine from beginning to end.
I don't know. I kind of want him to whisper sweet nothings to me while I play.
I'm going to spawn in my succubus now and see if we can't create some green fire, everybody. Yeah, that guy's great. Anyway, there's flying. Who knows? Whatever. My feeling is, here's my belief. My belief is we will one day fly in Draenor. That will happen. I just don't
last
have
patch.
No, you think that's it? Last patch? That was going to be my guess.
I want it to be. I don't see the things that are broken at the moment because there's no flying are archaeology and I don't know, like that's it really for me. Archaeology is the one thing that I feel has really suffered in a world where you can't fly. Navigating around some dig sites is horrible. Some of them are far, far too big. Sometimes you have an archaeological thing, a drop, but it's at the top of a cliff. And so you've got to kind of run around an edge to get up there where previously you just hop in the air and go. So they introduced some form of concession around a dig site that allowed you to fly or with an archaeological mount fly around in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be very happy.
Yeah.
That's the only area of my game, at least, that I feel has been negatively impacted through flying, not being available.
We got an email from Ghost Mantis on the Corona server who says, this kind of adds to this conversation, so I want to add an idea to flying mounts in the WAD discussion you had on the last podcast. What if in a future patch they had a two-plane system? Not plane like plane, but plane. Anyway, people could only use the ground mounts on the ground, but in the zone like Arakoa and a playable zone in the sky above the ground where you could be allowed to use flying mounts. Thanks for all the great work you guys put in, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts. So in a lot of ways, what he's saying is what you're saying. If there's a reason to go somewhere and use the mount, great. The problem is if you want to do archaeology, this would be tantamount to making only archaeological finds available in some mountainous region where you could fly and nowhere else. And that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, even then, I mean, the problem with making any concession is you'd end up, you know, flying up really high in a dig site and then slow falling to where you wanted to go, or things like that. I mean, using the Feather of Avena or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. Is amazing. And it's great when you're getting ganked and you just like press it, you shoot up in the air and then you kind of glide off anywhere.
Sure.
It's great to have those fun toys, and they feel so much more fun now that that isn't the norm.
Mm. Where you can just fly up in the air and do it in a way that, that Lord Zeus did not intend. Put it that way. I don't know. I don't know where I'm at on flying, but I still say that if you just let me do it around my garrison so I could more quickly manage things, that would make me happy. And
I would be happy to sacrifice like half of the ores I get as long as I didn't have to get the ores myself.
Oh, gosh.
I honestly now I'm to the point where I have so many ores, but at the same time, I don't like the idea of just leaving them there. Unmined.
I know, right? Like, this is having them sit there?
I don't need any more. I have like 2,000 of each.
Yeah.
There is no value to me to have more. But yeah, every day I go in there and I don't have fun doing that.
How about a patch? How about a patch where you can assign a follower to go do that crap for you? Because it is starting to grind on me. And then
exactly, I might actually put, you know, Lanchester of the mine in the mine, mm-hmm. because, you know, if he's going to mine stuff for me, I'd be okay with that. Currently, he gives a bonus on work orders, meaning I get even more ore. Which I just don't care enough about to waste a follower on that.
Right.
Whereas on my engineering hut, where I get gears, which then help me make goggles and upgrades quicker, having a follower do that is really useful.
Sure.
And once you get your followers to 100, it is a guaranteed double of whatever that mat would have been.
Yeah.
You get fun ones like Lumber Mill.
Sure.
I did a whole quest chain this week where I ended up, you know, taking down large timber and then had to fight this... Groot style character who, after beating him 3 times, is now my follower.
Yeah.
And he increases my garrison resources through the lumber mill.
Yeah, that guy's
and
awesome.
That's amazing. Those are fun things to do.
Yeah.
But ones where I kind of feel like I'm losing a follower to a resource building, I don't think is as fun.
Yeah, I agree with that. Patrick, where are you at with the, garrisons, we fell in love with them immediately, but how are you feeling now that we're, a few weeks in?
So, as we said last week, I'm doing something completely radical with WoW, which is I'm only doing stuff that I want to do. Mm. And that is an incredibly soothing feeling. Like anything when I'm like, oh, but I really don't want to do that, then I just don't do it. Mm. And honestly, it feels like that's the way everyone should play. So I'm directing everyone now to be doing that, because the thing, I mean, T, you're saying you have enough material, you don't need it, you don't want to do it, and still you're doing it.
And yeah, I do it. I know, exactly.
And then, I'm sort of thinking, that guy is kind of an idiot. Now, I knew that already for other reasons, but...
Yeah.
Why are you doing it?
Yeah, I love this. I would love to hear an answer to this, because I'm doing something similar.
So I feel like one day I will use those materials, or they will be useful, mm-hmm. and that every opportunity I pass up now is a missed one.
Yeah.
And so for me, it kind of feels like a speculative
sort of thing. You have to weigh the annoyance factor against the potential annoyance factor that will happen then and how the situation will be at that point. Because things might be different. Even if you do need them, you might have easier ways of getting them at that point.
Yeah.
I'm still loving all of this. I only filled out the additional plots recently in my garrison. I'm leveling them. Slowly, I just met Benjamin Broad and bought a card from him.
Did you buy the board as well?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you should buy the board. It's one of the best.
It's 1,000 gold, and you get to flip it.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's one of the best toys in the game. It's amazing.
I'm probably going to do it. Yeah.
He'll be back. Don't worry. He'll be back plenty of times to buy that from him again.
I know. And so, I got my, I just discovered the selecting additional followers thing in the inn, and I'm loving that. I got a quest from a guy in the inn to go do a heroic. It's like, it's just, I'm just having fun. So yes, I still love the garrisons. I'm building them slowly. I'm loving everything I'm doing there. I'm loving the heroics. I even enjoyed the very easy LFR. So I'm very happy with all of this.
I like your strategy and your approach. I think that's a fine thing. We have a caller who, I was going to say one thing. If there is one perk I wouldn't mind seeing in the mines would be this. One, those guards that are supposed to protect it from those roly-poly dudes would actually do their job, because they still pop up and I hate them. That's number one. Two.
Those ones that pop up, though, give you resources. That would just randomly spawn.
Oh.
But I don't know. Some people have reported they still get stood there already before mining.
Yeah, they're all in there hanging out.
They don't drop anything. Those ones shouldn't exist.
They drive me crazy. It must be a bug. But the other thing that would be really nice, a nice perk would be, how about a mine that isn't branched off into 3 directions I have to backtrack all 3 directions from? Why don't you make this whole thing one big loop? So when I walk in, I start on one end of the loop. I've drank the coffee and got the mind pick to make it all quicker. And I just tear through that loop, come out the other side fresh and clean. Don't have to go backtrack all the way upstairs again. How about that? That would be
That'd be lovely. Yeah. I like there is that little loop, at least in the Alliance one, down like the left-hand side, I think. Mm-hmm. And you go around this little loop at the end of it and come back up.
Yeah, we have that
And
too.
I like that. It feels like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I haven't wasted any time.
But give
here.
Me a whole yeah. big one, you know, like the whole
But even
thing.
Then, like on the middle branch of the Alliance one, they always have a node underwater.
Mm.
So you always have to jump in water, which is slow and awkward, and then you know, sweep away at it, and then you jump back out. And it the whole thing does feel very labor-intensive. And I guess, to an extent, you're mining. It's meant to be.
Sure.
That, you know, they can't cheapen trade skills too much, but it does for me. You know, obviously, there's not as much value in
And yet you have more ores than you need, and, you know...
Well, that's partly because they give you so much. It's just so much production. It's like it has the opposite problem.
You would want them to give you less so that you have to do it more.
Well, no. Okay, that's
but
a good point.
Easier when you do it.
That's a good point. But like the herb dude over there, herb lady, I guess. It's a Tauren. I forget of mine. But they that is way underproductive. And
have you got the level 3 one yet?
No, I think I'm still 2.
So I unlocked the level 3 one this week, and you get a tree that basically drops conjured fruits.
Yeah.
So when you log out, it will disappear. But that fruit will give you well-fed buffs that are really, really good. And you get varied stuff. You get like bananas, cherries, apples. And it actually felt like, oh, this is giving me something useful that isn't just herbs. So I felt better with that. Whereas the level 3 mine is just more nodes. Whereas, you know, I think it would be better if it gave me, you know, some form of runes or something, because there's archaeological stuff in the mine carts.
Yeah.
It could have given me those runes you get rewarded sometimes when your class is a bonus class in Dungeon Finder, mm-hmm. and you get like an extra 100 strength for an hour or things like that.
Yeah.
That would be cool to have that buff stones at level 3.
Yeah.
So you kind of feel like, oh yeah, you know, because I don't really want more ore. Mm-hmm. But I do like having some other utility.
I also just like the idea of a mine. I think it's cool. Like, it's a cool thing. It looks cool. I've always admired, having come from old MMOs into WoW back in the day, 10 years ago, they had this amazing thing, which was you could go into these underground areas seamlessly. That was a big deal at the time. That wasn't true of Dark Age of Camelot or freaking EverQuest or any of these other games where you had to zone into anything that was a new place. And the idea that I can just go down deep into a mine and mine stuff and hang out with some goblins and go back out is a cool thing. It looks cool. It feels cool. I don't want to lose my mine. I just feel like there's a production problem because I'm never out of stuff for all my things that use ore to make, but I never have enough herbs for my my potion hut deal. They just never have enough. It's like, oh, well, like, yeah, sure, I can make 21 orders, but I can maybe manage 6 per day because I can't get enough herbs out of that garden. And I know it's only level 2, and I'll get more, you know, if I increase it, but I feel like that's all out of balance. Anyway, it's all nitpicky small stuff, but hopefully in time they'll fix all that. Here is a call about garrisons.
Hey, this is for the instance. This is Dead Mouse, your Gnome Warlock from iTrig US. Just a quick comment about garrison followers. It occurred to me this morning as I got up earlier than normal to make sure all my followers were back out on missions. At some point, won't they become somewhat irrelevant? For example, if you're a raider and you're in 675 plus gear, and all 25, you know, you got your barracks leveled out at level 3, and all 25 of your followers are maxed out purple with epic gear on, What then is the point? You know, you got your lumber mill humming along at level 3, giving you all the garrison resources you need. Just something to keep garrison followers relevant. Anyway, enjoy the show, and thanks for listening to the feedback.
Do you think the end result of followers is just to max them out, and then that's pretty much all?
No, of course not. I mean, as with everything else in the game, I expect further patches to introduce more content.
Mm.
Currently, when you look at your garrison... my level 3 garrison, there's a hole in the bottom left and in the top right, and it looks like I'm gonna get one more small and one more large plot at least when I upgrade to level 4 in a future patch.
Do you think you'll get a bigger castle?
I hope so.
That would be cool.
There needs to be some reason as to why it is, and you know, maybe, you know, it's we get more invasions or we get, you know, different stuff to work with our garrisons. They've been such a champion feature. They've definitely given themselves the headroom to add more features there. Currently, the item level when you hit Epic is 645 for your followers. Anything beyond that currently doesn't really do a huge amount. Mm. But what I imagine is that in future raid tiers, we'll get more loot and items. You know, you'll get Epic weapons drop for your followers that will give you, you know, 680 or something like that. And we'll keep leveling them up and get larger gold rewards, larger garrison rewards. I would say, firstly, if your followers are all maxed out and they have scavenging and stuff like that, you're not going to need your lumber mill. Mm. So you've actually now, because of those, regained a medium slot, which could be a barn, which is going to be fixed. So you actually be able to get Savage Bloods a lot easier, which are used in all the epic crafting. And it was going to be more of a kind of a resource that is going to sell well in the auction house and other areas. So to be honest with you, the lumber mill, if I wasn't building stuff, I'd love to get rid of, just purely because that is a really valuable, everything in medium, I think I want.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any medium building I've looked at and gone, no, not fussed in that.
One extra plot would be amazing. Just one more, you know, because I agree with you. There's I don't want to get rid of my lumber mill because I don't want to lose that piece of production.
Exactly. But for example, once you've leveled up your stables and you've got all your mounts, you can get rid of that. And equally, they're account wide, I believe. I have to check that. So that's a one that once you kind of complete, you don't necessarily return to unless in future patches they're going to introduce more mounts. But currently, the way the mounts work is they're vehicles. So a lot of people are keeping stables because it allows you to fall off of any height whilst on that mount because it's a vehicle. So you don't take any damage. Treasure hunting and stuff like that, and you're kind of jumping, trying to land on an area to loot it, it's a lot safer and a lot easier if you have stables. Mm. So everyone finds their own enjoyment in their own game. I think that for garrison followers, for me, I'm kind of halfway there. I've got kind of half at 645. All of mine are level 100, which is great. So what that means is that as they get close to the epic, the XP missions become less and less useful.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are asking, like, maybe could you convert the XP to gold like you do for us when we quest?
Yeah.
So that would be useful. And then you'd be like, oh, yeah, I've got a nice steady supply of gold coming in. I don't need to play the auction house.
Maybe I can play the auction house. If they could convert that XP to Paragon levels for my Diablo characters, that'd be nice. Just do it between
That would
games.
Be really cool. Yeah. That would be amazing. Yeah, yeah, that's proper.
Some fusion, right, between games? Yeah. Sure. Forget about Benjamin really like Brode walking through your garrison. Let's move on to that. Patrick, I think I just admire your take what you want approach right now. I think there's wisdom in that because
he's
are
like
really
a measured man. I feel like I'm going to be complaining about how burnt out I am in a couple of months. Yeah. And Patrick's going to be like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Yeah, there's all this, there's all that, you know.
Yeah. In a way, that is this. I mean, it is the moderate approach, but also there's just so much content 10 years in. There are truly so many new things to do and old things to do that you don't have to feel, I guess, that you have to do it all, you know?
It does feel like there's a lot more to do than there was in previous expansions. And I don't know, it's a bit weird because it feels like there's more. The garrison was just added on top of everything else, and they didn't take anything away. So it feels like if there hadn't been the garrison, I might have rushed into it and played everything a lot quicker. But with this, it was just a little bit overwhelming. I didn't understand all of it. I didn't want to read all the guides and all the things. And I was just like, you know what? I'll just take things as they come. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been working out for me. I only have like 10, 15 followers at this point, and only maybe 10 of them, you know, 2/3 of them are level 100. Mm. So I'm just, yeah.
I think that's a fine way to approach it. I'm feeling way more compelled to eat it all right now. And that's more for me this time than ever before. So I'm more on the Terpster train. But at the same time, I don't know. It's weird. It's
the
weird for
Terpster
me.
Train.
It's weird. We're going full blast.
Full T-train. Yeah,
exactly. I cannot wait.
It's great. It's really fun. And I'm doing things I don't normally love doing. I love heroics in this game. They're so much fun. They're so challenging. They provide great reasons to play them. And And that's been maybe my favorite thing. And I haven't really enjoyed Heroic since like BC in terms of their content. So I don't know what's happened there that's changed that for me, but I'm loving that. And I'm not used to being better geared than a lot of people who I play with quicker. And that's weird for them too, I'm sure. because I'm usually taking a much slower road, but this time, I don't know, I'm in the buffet and I can't stop eating. Here's a question that's got nothing to do with any of this, but I'm dying to hear what our answers are. So here's this.
Hey guys, Guns and Glory here from Secundris. I don't know, for those people looking back at BlizzCon, I was kind of surprised at looking at the e-sporting events. Most of these guys did not have beards or were overweight, should I say. What's up with that?
What's up with that? Yeah, that's a weird thing to notice stereotypes.
A lot of the professionals do actually work out and train as part of their
It's actual regime. Sports regimen.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of them do, you know, they all go down the gym together, exercise together, eat together, live together. You know, those teams, a lot of them are you know, together, and they believe that, you know, a strong body creates a strong mind, which then goes on to perform strong in games.
Sure.
So it doesn't surprise me that you don't see many overweight athletes, be them sports or esports, also, because it's a lot of the same things.
Also, it's kind of a blanket stereotype that everybody in video games is overweight and has a beard.
It's just me, I think, at the moment, but you know, we're getting there.
Your beard is awesome, though. Your beard is so, like, it makes me want to watch 90s movies. I love
exactly.
that
thing. It's like traveling through time.
Yeah.
Every time looking at my face, it's like, oh, I'm young again.
That's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. Nice work on that.
Thank you.
Guy wrote in, says, this is Trollwells from Rip Grinder. It turns out that's his actual name. It's not a name in the game. Anyway,
Trollwells.
So from some part of the Scandinavian part of the world. Okay. Hey guys, first of all, thanks for the great show. I look forward to it every weekend and a new show. I had a thought inspired by a system in Counter-Strike where you get to star a player for being a good teacher or a good team player. Do you think Blizzard could implement a system where you would be able to reward a fellow player after a given instance with a star in, for example, three categories like good team player, good teacher, good or all-around player? These players could advance in the system and in time have rewards like better queue times, titles, cosmetic rewards, and so on. Do you think it would reduce the amount of douchebag Carls? Hope to hear your thoughts.
The problem with this is that, first of all, it's been talked about, like a player rating system has been talked about for a long time, and they never did it. I think the problem is for the people who do get advancement in that system, then you have people who don't get advancement and who are frustrated, not because they're douchebag Carls, but because maybe they don't play as much or people don't actually engage in the system, and all the people who have friends just give stars to their friends all the time and not to anyone else. Or
And I'm sure
it's easy to game, and
people I'm not sure. Far quicker to complain about something before they are to congratulate something as well. Yeah. So vote to kick gets used all the time. If there was a vote to say good job, I wouldn't imagine you'd see it very often.
Yeah, I feel like they
think what do you do once people have three stars?
Right,
do you only
pair
people who have three stars together? Mm. What about all the other people? You know, what happens at that point? Do you advertise people who are cool so that they get mobbed when they want to do an instance?
How do you rank up? Like, you know, do you have to play with all the shit players first?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also in this scenario, it's almost like the not doing anything was a good thing. In other words, it's easy to kick because you make taking some action that has this energy behind it and this anger behind it. But if somebody did a good job, it's almost like it's not really rewarding, but it's already in place. Nothing was said and nobody was kicked. You know what I mean? Like, it's already there. It just isn't rewarding. So this implies extra work for those who already are not bothered or fussed. They just want to get in there, get their loot, and get the hell out of there. They don't want to then take the time to go, you know, I mean, some of us do. I would do this. But there are a lot of people who would be just like, I don't want to stop, take time to like give a star to a dude and then make sure that happened and then leave and congratulate him.
I mean, well, I think people just don't do that. Is to make the whole experience more enjoyable for everyone and maybe even reintroduce a little bit of socialness to the experience of doing dungeons.
It's an MMORPG. It's not about being social.
Yeah.
To, I mean, to an extent, if you're going to go do a heroic, like the best I would want is for people to be efficient and pleasant. You know, I don't want them to be jerks, but like share a couple of jokes and be kind and, you know, whatever, but not turn into a giant conversation and, you know, for it to become, I don't need to. It's kind of sad to say this, but you're right, Mark. First of all, it's sad because I'm admitting that you're right.
Yeah,
it's second of all, the worst thing, isn't
it? That I'm not really looking for a social thing at that point. I noticed, like, I've been playing Destiny a little bit, and by a little bit I mean a lot.
A lot of it, yeah.
I've had people friending me on Destiny, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, I'll accept them. And
oh, by the way,
know,
does your player tag end in US?
Oh no! It's I have two, but
oh, right. That's okay.
But that was you, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Okay, cool. No worries. Sorry, I denied it anyway, just in case it was you. But I'm glad to know.
Yes, yes. and so, so I'll send you the other one too. Anyway, so I figured, you know, if they send me a request, I'll play with them from time to time. And then every time they've sent me a group request, I was like, but I really don't want to play with someone now. I want to chill, like do my quests by myself, do my things at my own pace. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think I'm really, maybe it's just me, but the alone together thing is fine for me. I don't miss, if I want to play with friends, I want to play with actual friends.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to, I don't know. Maybe
I completely agree with you. I think this is not just because you and I are aging. I think it is actually because things have played out in gaming, in online gaming, for quite a while now, since the Quake Live days when I was playing way back in the day in the mid 90s, and we were all like, holy crap, this is the future. Won't it be great one day when we just play with anybody anywhere in the world? And what it has sussed out to be is it's fun to play online, but it's more fun, way more fun, if you can manage it, to play with people you know. And yeah. I think that's how things have settled out. So this alone together thing, I am all for it. I think it's great. There are times where I just want to be all by myself. I still think I should be able to mark myself as not online, so even my friends can't get a hold of me. Like, I want more control over that stuff.
Exactly. Working, you know, with a lot of people who play games all the time, I would like to be able to mark myself offline when I just want to play games and don't want to do work.
I'm going to be, like, tonight, we're going to live stream some heroics with myself, cartoonist Scott Kurtz, artist Steve Hammaker, and a few other people, and we're going to do it willingly and openly, and here's a chance to do that. And it's amazing that we can, but I'll tell you, there's probably going to be some other part of this weekend where I'm going to be like, I'm going to go do two riffs in Diablo because no one can bug me there, you know? Like, that's what I want.
And for the record, I also would like to have an appear offline thing.
Yeah, that'd be great, right? We've been talking about it for years. It's not going to happen, but I don't think. Yeah. They would have done it by now. It's not hard. It's easy. Piece of cake.
I don't know if it's that easy, though, because you have the issue of, you know, if you're offline on the Battle.net level, then what happens in WoW and with your guilds and your friends and the things. So I don't know that it's super easy, but yeah.
If it's per game, just have it in WoW. Or, well, I guess then, yeah, you're right. It is complicated.
I think just in terms of pressing O... Mm-hmm. If I don't show up there, that's all I'd want.
Yeah.
I don't care about, like, in guild chat or seeing me run around. I don't want to be, like, invisible. Mm-hmm. But, for example, just being like, yeah, it would just be nice.
Not appearing on the Battle.net friends list level is what you're...
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be nice, exactly. Just so people aren't like, oh, he's doing his garrison again.
Yeah. God. And it makes me a liar.
Has he replied to your emails yet? No, he's doing his garrison, isn't he? Yeah, that's that bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that bit. All right, we got one more phone call before we kick out of here today, and this is about account level buffs. It's an interesting question.
Hello, Scott, and possibly even Dills, Terpster, and or Patrick. This is a Durkin from the Gul'dan server, Horde side, of course. There was a mechanic I really liked in Star Wars The Old Republic, and I wanted to get your collective thoughts on it. Where once you achieve max level on a character, you're able to use that class-specific buff on all of the characters on that account. I found this to be really handy and wanted to get your thoughts on it. Love the show. Keep up the good work, guys.
So there's a lot of stuff. People point to all sorts of things in this expansion that are not lifted from that game, but you know, ideas that seem to be fleshed out versions of that or better takes on it or whatever.
Similars.
Yeah. Why not? This seems all right. You know, buffs that affect all your characters. If you know, the problem is how many people are truly altaholics and really are leveling multiples and how many people are doing just mains. And I can tell you in this expansion, I'm less interested in my alts because I don't really want to work on other garrisons or do those other paths. I know we talked about this last week a little bit, but you know, I kind of don't know what to do with those guys because I don't want to do all that 3-4 times in a row. I want to just do the one.
Weird place, exactly, where some things are account-wide and some things aren't. Mm-hmm. And like reputations, I strongly believe should be account-wide.
Yeah.
But they are such a historic time sink that I think making the game kind of easier to complete as such is a daunting thing.
Yeah.
But I personally would like to see more shared resources. Like, you know, I think me as a player,
the buffs, though.
Yeah. Well, to give
it,
I'm
not sure the buffs would be the thing you want to. I mean, what's the benefit? If you, the stamina buff from the priest is going to be applicable to all of your alts, is that
maybe it's the equal important stat, so agility on your hunter and
Even then the issue there becomes is that it then becomes mandatory for certain raiders and players,
of course,
and anything they add like that, and then it just all adds of the to classes of homogeny. Mm-hmm. I want
and all
I
of the
like
classes
it.
Need to have an equally beneficial thing. I mean, I don't think I would miss it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think WoW is the place for that sort of feature. And like I said, they say about flying being, you know, the mistake of game design that they would, you know, if they could fix something that they would, and you got to imagine that, you know, there's other ones in the game that if they were making it again today, they might take a different kind of stance on. And I think maybe, for example, Shamans being on both Alliance and Horde, you know, that was kind of liked having, you know, Shamans and Paladins opposite sides of the table.
Yeah, that was
it
cool.
Makes it a lot easier
that,
for them
that
to
was
balance.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just one of those things where, again, you wonder, did it diminish anything or did it add to stuff? And I, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, it made raiding was a nightmare because competitive raiding, I mean, you would always have people complaining like, oh, but the Shaman does this and he can, you know, they have an advantage in the Horde and the Paladins do that. And like, I don't think it was a bad call to get each faction all of the classes. I really don't think so.
I don't think so either. There are things,
especially back then, you know, when competitive raiding was such a huge deal. It was a big part of WoW.
Right.
Nowadays, you still have competitive guilds that try to go for the hardest thing, but it's not as big a deal, I feel, for the community.
Sure. I like the lore difference. That's what I miss about that difference, is that you did have a reason to truly look at each faction and go, well, there is one part of these factions that definitely is different than the other, and one is
and
this
almost embodies the faction as
Totally.
Like Paladins are this big, hulking, armored, you know, bastion of light and justice, and Shamans are these sort of, you know, more in
weak,
touch with
feeble,
the world,
trembling things.
No, they were like super overpowered, needed to be nerfed. Blizzard clearly favored the Horde, but you got a feeling of who they are, and I really like that.
Yeah, that was a cool thing. I'm not saying I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's gone. I just it's a thing that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's not like the Horde and Alliance lack identity,
right?
And that's where the races come in. But
sure, trolls and Janet Proudmoore don't have a lot in common. Last I checked. Anyway, that's your call. By
and
the way,
she fell in love with a troll. an orc.
An orc, right. Oh, those days.
Well, she's in love with a dragon now, so I think Jaina's just, you know,
she's
she
fine.
Likes to get 3K.
Sure.
All right? Don't all judge right. it.
She's got that terrible hair now. Terrible? Terrible is what I meant to say.
Terrible.
Terrible hair. That's going to do it. By the way, phone calls today and emails were awesome. Thank you for helping us fill out our show, listeners, because there was not a lot of news this week. The number to call is 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Leave us a message. We'll play it on a future show. You can also email your attachments. MP3s, waves, that kind of stuff are all accepted. Don't send me Microsoft media files. They're terrible. I hate them. I don't want to convert them. They're a pain in the butt. Theinstance@gmail.com. You can also send your written emails there. That's going to do it for the show. Good stuff, man. Patrick, you've got this new Pixel show. You should mention it here and so people can check it out and listen. I'm going to be on it next Tuesday. I can't wait.
I was going to keep it a surprise.
Oh, damn it. I'm not on that show. What is the show?
No, I'm on it next Tuesday.
Okay, good. Now we're all
are you, pull out. Mark?
No. I might pull out Wink. Hopefully someone else will be able to fill in.
Yeah.
I was going to say, hey, I have this new Pixels show. It's all about video games, and we're going to cover a bunch of things, and we get all analytical and serious about video game because this is our culture and we like to talk about it. And maybe there's going to be someone, you know, a mystery guest who's first name might be Scott and, you know, last name
could
might
be Terpster.
Start
Scott Terpster.
Scott Terpster.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so yeah, Pixels. Frenchspin.com is where you'll find that show. You'll also find other things there that are possibly
French.
Cool. and no, it's all in English.
All English.
Oh, wow.
Confusing. Right. You should call it English Spin.
Nah.
No, because it's the French spin to stuff that is in English.
Yeah.
Anyway,
English spin
not
is a,
Patrick.
They already have a
not
name.
Patrick
Fox
is,
News is English spin. Anyway, go ahead.
What? Yes. Not Patrick on Twitter and FrenchSpin.com. That's
very
where
nice.
You find me.
Nice. Patrick Terpster is, of course, at the _T on Twitter and is in the midst of this record-breaking charity drive.
Oh, yeah, we're doing really well. We broke $500,000 last night.
Amazing.
To the tune of me singing at karaoke. Mm. It was beautiful. So that was just me. Really screaming out loud.
Wasn't it that gay bar song or something?
Without any words as well. Just knew it. That was the scariest.
If I brought $500,000 to a charity thing, I would be singing too.
Yeah, I would be.
There you go, exactly.
It's amazing. That's really great, you guys. That's seriously
also
awesome.
We were sort of wondering if you had had a kid yet or if you were having a kid. You didn't just come
just
back
yet.
From the hospital and you weren't late because you were at the hospital,
thankfully,
right?
Thankfully, baby's still in there. We're 37 and a bit weeks now, so anytime, but hopefully not too soon.
All right. Well,
but hopefully soon, but not too soon.
Yeah,
but maybe sooner.
Here's a
get the baby.
It's Scott Fletcher for you there to get the baby. Nice. Well, we'll keep baby watch on tap. We'll do it again next week. Kind of see how things are going. If you would like to, of course, I think I already mentioned it, but Terpster's at the _T and all this charity stuff is flowing out of that Twitter feed. So
that's good. Yeah, yeah.
Follow that. You can find me at Scott Johnson. The show at Instance Show. The show is at theinstance.net. And if you missed Wednesday's surprise interview, go back and listen to it. It's on the regular feed. It featured Ben Brode and Jason Chase of the Hearthstone team chatting about their new launch and what's going on over there. Don't get a chance to talk to them as much as we'd like. Yeah, it was great. It was really good to talk
there
to them.
There was a sort of, I thought, a healthy amount of Ben Brode laughter.
Oh, yeah, big time.
That was good.
Yeah, I agree. I tried to capture as much of that as we could. And had a really good time. It's a super short show. It's like 28 minutes. Totally worth your time. So go check that out. Big thanks to our intern, Paul Swickard, Matthew Oxley, for our theme music. If you want to find more great shows on the Frog Pants Network, find them at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, and for Patrick. We'll see you next time. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Anniversary gifts have some Garrison owners all hot and bothered. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Blizzard has a long history of giving thoughtful gifts to all its subscribers on World of Warcraft's anniversary. But some Garrison owners are now asking what were they thinking regarding this year's presents, the Molten Corgi pet and Corehound mount. These, along with the Iron Starlet pet from their pre-expansion event, have been blamed for a recent upsurge of large-scale fires in players' garrisons. Horde garrisons have been particularly vulnerable to sparks thrown off by corehounds as they walk through the closely spaced buildings, and while the stone construction prevalent in Alliance strongholds has helped, many an inn and town hall has seen its interior furnishings set ablaze by a little corgi darting under a couch or bed and igniting. Affected Horde and Alliance players have banded together to file a complaint with the Azerothian Consumer Product Safety Commission, asking Blizzard to recall the pets and mounts. Some have gone so far as to accuse the company of deliberately introducing the hazard as a way to force players to consume garrison resources to rebuild. Their evidence? A quest from Jade Forest has been recast as an achievement. Its name? Burning Down the House.
Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
It's not a Buxley. Welcome to Buxley's Journal. Draenor Pizza, how may I help you? Sure, we deliver. Anywhere in Draenor except underwater in Zanger. Well, we used to, but the paladin that used to deliver there quit. He's the only one that could bubble up and keep the pizzas from getting wet. Yeah. Specials? Yeah, we have specials. Large size, 3-topping pizza for the price of a medium. Let's see. Colossal ogre size pizza for the price of 1,000 gold, but that's only until midnight. Undead special, goblin econo blaster. Huh? Undead special? Oh, that comes with a mop and a bucket for the forsaken that enjoy eating but don't want to make a mess because everything hits the floor. Sure. How many? 15? Whoa, you having a raid or what? Oh, okay. What do you need? Yeah, okay. Where do you want that delivered? 4960 Frostwall in Frostfire Ridge. Okay. It'll be there in about... wait a second. Did you say 4960 Frostwall? Is this some kind of prank? We don't deliver there. Why? Because it's one of those garrisons. The last 3 people I sent over there got recruited to cater follower missions. No way am I sending more people out there. What, you guarantee it? And you pay extra? Oh, okay, well, as long as you guarantee it, I'll do it on one condition. Just meet me out front by the lava pools. I'm not going to lose any more delivery people. If you'd like to see what I'm up to every day, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Salutations! This is Rhett, R-A-T, from the Trollbane server. I hope you guys had a nice turkey time or whatever those, you know, European fruits are up to. I don't know, pheasant time? I don't know what they do over there. Anyways, first time, long time. Hey there, Scott and Type Stud Tales and Patrick. Here's the beef. As a survival hunter, I get a spec-specific bonus to multi-strike. You know, some abilities, etc. Now, specs that don't, well, see, they got very little reason to use multi-strike because, you know, it's just another random damage bonus like crit, except kind of worse math-wise. Definitely seems the lesser of the second stats to me. I don't know. So any thoughts, fellas? I'd love to hear you mull it over. Yeah. Take care, you.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Zarek of AIE, and this is episode 2 of The Outpost, your guide to the ever-so-addicting garrisons. This week, I'll be covering garrison missions. Missions can provide you with garrison resources, player and follower experience, vanity items, and occasionally gear. When you're assigning followers to missions, you see the theoretical success rate of the mission over the chest next to rewards. Several factors which can increase the success rate of the mission. One being the level and item level of your followers versus the level of the mission. Another being whether or not your follower has an ability that counters a mission's threat, which provides a significant success boost, and relevant traits such as increased success within a certain zone or when grouped with a particular race. The length of missions can range anywhere from 30 minutes to a day, longer ones generally having the better rewards. Now there are a couple subtypes of missions including patrol missions, treasure missions, and item level missions. Patrol missions can be unlocked with a level 1 barracks and have higher than normal experience rewards for followers. Treasure hunter missions can be unlocked with a level 3 Lunarfall Inn or Frostwall Tavern and rewards additional gold. Item level missions require level 100 followers and ranging from item level 600 up to 645. And they can give you rewards such as gear for your character, boost to your follower item level, and in some cases, 1,000 gold. This wraps up this episode of The Outpost. Next week, we'll be covering the basics of garrison buildings. If you have any questions, comments, or otherwise, contact me at zarikenvy@gmail.com. zarikenvy@gmail.com. As always,
Lotar.
Epic diapers.
All right, so we all have a little problem. We can't quit it. It consumes almost every hour of every day thinking about it. But the first step to a clear conscience is admitting the addiction. We obsess over garrison missions. We just need to find out if that mission with a 76% chance to get a level 630 weapon was successful, or how many crates of salvage are back, or if that blue level 100 follower turned purple yet, right? Am I right? Well, there are tools out there to feed your addiction, feed that burning desire to send more followers out, yet still have enough resources to upgrade your salvage yard to level 3. They are add-ons. The first one is Garrison Mission Manager, and these programming devils have made assigning missions so much easier. Each mission also has 3 choices of teams that you can send on their happy way to balance out your follower talents and make sure you have as many successful missions go out as you can. The next soulless add-on is called Master Plan. With this tool, you can sort missions by chance of success, level, or rewards. The Garrison Missions window is also split into separate available or active tabs, so you can see which teams are out in Draenor trying to make the boss, that's you, happy. So, even though these add-ons make your garrison mission managing more efficient and hypothetically save you time, it won't, because you'll be doing so many more missions that your level of OCD will increase exponentially. You can follow me on Twitter at EpicDiapers and check out show notes, links, and other goodies at EpicDiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Welcome. This is Deadorin with another edition of Ask a Magus. This week's question is, why do mages get 3 holidays a year and rogues don't get any? Well, the answer on the rogues part is pretty darn simple. You're pretty well hated. Simply, there is a reason you get shot with turkey guns every year. Now, other classes do get a holiday a year. Warriors are a pretty good example. After all, they're often way too dumb to get out of a way of a boss's swipe. And I mean really, really big bosses, and really slow ones. Anyway, mages get multiple days a year because, let's face it, they're pretty darn awesome. It's like, you have one day a year where you have to thank a mage, after all. They're the ones who actually down bosses. Then there's the Memorial Day, where unfortunately Dalaran got demolished. And then there's the day in which Dalaran got moved. And let's face it, that was pretty darn awesome. And that's the reason why. Mages are pretty awesome, and we love to celebrate that. Send your questions to Ask a Magus on Twitter.
Welcome, students, to Monk Meditation. The show about monks in the World of Warcraft.
This week's lesson, Brewmaster 100 Talents. I'm LeBlue from the Monk Meditation Podcast. Soul Dance. This talent allows 30% of your stagger to work on magic damage. This talent is very good for heavy persistent magic damage like Shadow Moon Burial Grounds. Chi Explosion. This ability replaces Blackout Kick and will drain your current pool of Chi up to 4 and give an effect based on Chi consumed. At 1 Chi, does damage to a target. This effect does more if additional Chi is consumed. At 2 Chi, you also gain 2 seconds of shuffle plus 2 seconds per Chi spent. At 3 Chi, you purify all staggered damage, and at 4 Chi, you also hit all enemies within 8 yards of the target. Chi Explosion sacrifices defense for offense, and should be only used when the trade-off is worthwhile, such as speedrunning and challenge modes. Only use if your healers are comfortable with it, you will take extra damage. Serenity. Using this will immediately refund all Chi used for the next 10 seconds. This talent is your go-to choice in most situations, and allows you to purify more frequently without dropping shuffle.
For more tips and tricks, visit monkmeditation.com, and you can tune into the show at twitch.tv/wildmonk every other Monday.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Malgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what gift does one get their followers for Wintervale? It is true that Wintervale will soon be upon us. During Wintervale, all of Azeroth takes a week of holiday and heads for the pristine white slopes of Winterspring for a little shushing and shredding, and maybe a nice hot apple cider to wash down your gingerbread cookie. This is also a time of year to give generously to those less fortunate than you. Your followers, however, live for free in your garrison, do they not? And most of the time, they stand around just telling you how great you are, no? And occasionally, they do your bidding to win great honor and experience? Sounds pretty fortunate to me. I think they should get you a nice shiny new Mechanohog for Wintervale. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com. Thanks to Abaton Aberday from Wormrest Accord for this week's question.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.